Good morning, and welcome to all the guests we have with us today for our parent-child dedication service. Rudy will be joining us in a little while. He's at Boundary Trails this morning and doing a service there, but he should be here shortly. Let's take a few minutes just to look at some of our announcements. Today is MCI grad, and so they have a nice cool day for the graduation service. It hasn't always been that way every year, but congratulations to those who are graduating from all the different schools. We have them listed in our bulletin here, and we want to wish you well. The Sunday School is thankful for the generous support they received for their food grains bank fundraiser. That's the word I was looking for their food grains bank fundraiser. You can see they raised close to $1,000 for that. So, thank you for everyone who contributed to that. Haiti will not be in the office on Friday next week, so she's asked that any announcements that need to get into next week's bulletin, if you could have them in by 9 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, that would be helpful. That will ensure that they'll get into the bulletin on time. This summer, we are going to be challenging all of us to memorize Psalm 23. And for some of you, that will be old hat already. But the children have begun memorizing it already in the Sunday school, and we'll encourage everyone to memorize it. The ministerial will be focusing on a different psalm every week. So we're going to be focusing on the psalms over the summer. Young adults, just take note that you have a meeting on July 11th at Kenley and Kirsten's home. And I believe the DVBS has an announcement for us.
Full of the unknown. This summer, kids will learn that the God who created everything there is, the knowable and the unknowable, the visible and the invisible, wants a relationship with them. Dust off your telescopes and get ready to show kids who mapped out the stars. Each day during Lifeway's VBS, your galactic starveyors will gather under the stars for high-energy worship. Then, it's off to the Starveyor Clubhouse for Bible study, where kids will focus their telescopes on the creator of the universe. Next, gravitate to fun under the stars and experience crafts, music, missions, and more. All this fun is centered around helping kids discover that the God who made the galaxies knows them by name. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. This summer, shoot for the moon and include everyone in your Galactic Starveyor's adventure. Check out these resources available for students, adults, special needs, and Espanol. Remember, you can also take VBS to your own backyard with the Backyard Kids Club Kit. This summer, invite kids to the clubhouse and open their eyes to the God who is over the moon in love with them.
Maker, Thank you. So that DVBS program will be starting a week from tomorrow. And it's an evening program. I believe we're starting with a barbecue. And is that starting at 6:30 as well? 5:30? The barbecue will be starting at 5:30 on Monday. Then, so come and join us for that. Are there any other announcements?
Just have an announcement. You might have seen a bin in the foyer by the main entrance, and that is labeled as the Genesis House Women's and Children's Shelter bin. And so we want to be able to rally together as a church and help out people who are in need in our community. So there are a couple of specific things that they're needing right now in this season. Different times of year, they tend to just need different things. So right now, if you're wanting to donate, bring it into the bin in the next 3 weeks. And there's a few things they're needing. They're needing girls' clothing for size 10 and over, hair products, and simple baking supplies. So if you could bring some of those things in the next 3 weeks, then we can help out some people who are really in need in our community. So girls' clothing, size 10 and over, hair products, and simple baking supplies. That might include cake mixes, muffin mixes, or whatever, Pam spray, flour, whatever you might want to bring. That would be great.
As most of you probably saw, we had a table set up in the foyer this morning. We started serving coffee before the service. Us at the missions committee thought this would be a good idea just to encourage church fellowship. There's just regular mugs there now, but in the next couple weeks we'll be getting some biodegradable disposable cups. The lids on there should be a little more easy to carry around. I'm also going to be putting up a sign-up sheet in the foyer for anybody that's interested in volunteering to attend the table, just to make sure that everyone feels welcome who wants coffee, and make sure the coffee stays full, and make sure there's enough cream and sugar and so forth. So just let you know what was going on there. Thanks.
Any other announcements? Well, last Sunday's service left me with a lot of encouragement, and especially surrounding two thoughts. Firstly, Caitlin mentioned that when Jesus calls us to him, he is in essence saying to us, "Welcome home." She pointed out that when we receive Jesus and we allow him to make his dwelling place in us, we are also saying to Jesus, "Welcome home." Secondly, when Harley had us sing the song, "Jesus Loves Me." Now, I've sung this song hundreds of times, but I suddenly realized last week that the chorus repeats the words, "Jesus loves me," three times, and each verse begins with the words, "Jesus loves me." And I think the writer of that song wanted to make sure we didn't miss a very important message. Jesus loves us. We are loved so much by Jesus, in fact, that he was willing to die for us. Jesus took the welcoming of children very seriously. And in Matthew chapter 9, he tells us, and the disciples in particular, "Whoever welcomes one of these little ones welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but him who sent me." Today we are welcoming and thanking God for four beautiful children. And we want them to know that they are loved by us. And more importantly, that they are deeply loved by Jesus. Would you join me in singing the first verse of "Jesus Loves Me"? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Can we bow for prayer? Jesus, thanks for loving us. We love you too. Amen.
Actually, I just wanted to start off by being actually super honest with you guys. I've been, for leading, coming here to lead worship, I've been just like, normally I'm okay. Like, I like leading worship, I love it, I'm always super excited about it. But this time I've had like the hardest time picking songs, been feeling super nervous about it. And like, I've been going through a season of like, God, like, I've just been feeling a lot of a sinner. Like, I'm going through a season of feeling a lot like a sinner. And, like, even just, like, what I've been learning now, especially with what Kathy just said about, like, knowing that Jesus loves us, and I've been going through a season of just, like, learning that Jesus really does love me. And, like, I was watching a video the other day, and then Francis Chan asked the question. He's like, are you sure that Jesus Christ is crazy about you? Like, are you sure that Jesus Christ loves you? And I'm just like, I know that, but I don't believe that. You know, I know that, but I don't live my life like it. I don't come to Jesus like I know I'm fully loved every time I come to him. And I've been, like, living, yeah, just kind of been hidden from him, just viewing myself as a sinner. But then I came across this verse yesterday, and I'm just learning that it's not about me, and it's just about resting in how much he loves me. And it's from Psalms 103, verse 10 to 12. It says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And so I just want to start this morning just like resting in and just declaring how much he loves us. We're going to start with the song, How He Loves. And I just invite you to stand or sit or do whatever you want to connect with God. And I'm just going to pray and then we'll get going. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this place, Father. And I just ask that you would open all of our eyes and all of our minds just to see you, Father, and that we would just be able to come to a place of rest and come to a place of connection with you, God. And I just say that we just lay down this whole week, we lay it down at your feet, God, and we receive your peace and we receive your love. And we just say that you're a good God, a good Father who loves his children and is so pleased with his children. And you don't see our sin, but you see Jesus. And yeah, we just want to thank you so much for what you did on the cross. And I just ask that your love would become more real to us, and I just ask that you would just, yeah, that we would be able to know what is unknowable, and Father, that we would just be able to grasp the deepness and the greatness of your love. In Jesus' name.
Bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.
saddened. I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. We are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. Grace is an ocean we're all seeking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how there's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love. Here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love. Here in your love. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. Than hearing your love, hearing your love. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days I will love you, God. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days I will love you, God. God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days, hallelujah. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah.
God, I look to you.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Amen. Thank you for those songs, Kendra. I invite the ushers to come up to take the bullet. Come on up, ushers. Well, I'm so glad you all knew what to do, even though I couldn't think of the word. I think this time of year, my mind is just too full of math and history and science and everything else, and no room for anything else. Let's bow to pray. Father, we come to you with thankful hearts. We thank you for your goodness to us. Because you are our shepherd, we have everything we need and more. Thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. Today we also thank you for the gift of children. We ask for your blessing on these little ones, for your provision and strength and wisdom for the parents that you've entrusted them to. We thank you for the opportunity to learn, and we pray for your protection and guidance for those who are graduating from high schools and universities this spring. Thank you for providing us also with willing workers through DVBS. And as we get ready to begin in a week's time, we ask for your spirit to be at work in the teachers and in the hearts and minds of the children who come. May each one know your love and come to love you. We pray, Father, for those who are serving far away. We pray for your protection, for a deep awareness of your presence, and that your word might flourish and grow both within them and in the people who they serve. And Lord, we thank you also for your word and for the assurance in Psalm 23 that because you are our shepherd, we need not fear. Whatever comes, you are God with us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, I'd like to invite the children forward now for a children's story.
Awesome. What a lovely row of children this morning. We got visitors this morning. I hope you feel welcome. Glad you came. And those of you who are up here more often, I'm glad you guys came too. This morning for Children's Story, I brought two friends with me. Somebody this week, one of my coworkers, she's a teacher, she gave them to me at the end of the day last week. She made these. Now that's amazing, because I don't think I could make them. Do any of you have a grandma or a mom or an auntie or somebody that you know could crochet and make cool things like these little animals? Some of you, not very many. So I want you to imagine my friend who made these crocheting. She's got a big ball of wool, and she's got a little kind of a hook thing, and she's wrapping it all up. And in the end, it turns out like this. I think she needs a plan. I think she needs to know what she's doing. She's got a pattern going. Can you imagine what that might look like? I think it sounds tricky. Some of you have mums and dads or grandmas who make things. I know Mr. Clausen back there somewhere. He makes amazing woodworking things. I know Miss Marilyn does amazing things in her garden. She makes beautiful flower gardens. God makes the flowers grow, but she's really creative in putting things together. Can you think of other people that you know who make things? Tell me. What does she make? She makes paintings. Ooh, people who make paintings are very creative. They have a thought and a plan in their head. Sorry? Some of you make things, too. How many of you made something maybe in school or Sunday school for your dads for Father's Day? Some of you did. How many of you like to do craft stuff, making things? Yeah. Thanks, Kirsten. Making things. God made things. He had a plan. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, but this is what God says, He who created you. God, at one point, had a plan in His head, and He thought about each and every single one of you, and He thought, when I make Ada, I am going to make her with very blonde hair. And when He thought of Judah, He said, I'm going to make a boy with blonde hair. And when He thought of some of the rest of you, He said, I'm going to make this person have blue eyes or brown eyes or curly hair or be really tall. Or when He thought of Cyrus, maybe He thought of somebody who was going to have a kind and gentle spirit. That's what He wanted you to have. That's what He wanted when He created you. And when we see a tiny little baby, sometimes we see those things. As we grow older, we forget that God created us. I'm going to read this again. But now this is what God says. He who created you, He formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Each one of you belongs to our Heavenly Father. Each one of you was created just the way that God wanted you to be. And we just sang some songs about how much God loves us. God loves each one of you. And please don't ever forget how much God loves you, and He created you just the way that He intended. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You created each one of us, kids in the front, adults in the back, the way that You intended. Help us, God, to not forget Your great love for us and the way that You walk with us each day so that we don't need to be afraid. Thank You, Father, for each one of these children, and I pray a special blessing on them this morning. Amen.
What a wonderful opportunity to be part of a service where we say and do some pretty significant things regarding parent-child dedication. Thank you to the parents for your willingness to participate, and we want to wish you well on your journey with these children who have been entrusted to your care and to your keeping. I would invite those parents who have agreed to be here this morning to please join me at the front. If you have some siblings that you want to bring along with you, by all means, feel free to do so. I invite you to come. We want you to come all the way to the front so we can get a good look. Like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your children for dedication. God has a purpose for them. And as Esther mentioned, before they were even born, God knew, God formed, and God created that which you are now holding in your arms. It is your privilege to guide them in such a way that they can fulfill
that purpose that God has for them. We ask of you from our church and the congregation that it is your part and duty to see that your child shall be instructed in the teachings of Scripture and our Christian faith, to invite them to private and public worship, by word and example, to lead them into the love of God and the service of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So I would like to ask you two groups of questions. First, do you bring your child in this act of dedication in a desire that they may grow in the knowledge and love of God? Do you dedicate your home as a place where that can happen, where the spiritual nature of your child can unfold and grow? And will you, by teaching and example, lead your children so they can respond in faith to the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? If so, then answer, we do. And secondly, do you accept the trust that God places in you for the care and nurture of these children? And do you desire, with God's help and the church, to be faithful to these children as Christian parents? If so, then answer, we do. Thank you.
We are reminded, as we have been before, that these parents have brought these children to us,
God's church, for dedication to the Lord, and we too are part of this covenant. These children are part of our fellowship. They are part of our responsibility. We also are called to teach God's word, to model the way. And so my question to you as a congregation is, do you as a congregation covenant to be faithful to serve as Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, youth leaders, to set a living example of what it means to be God's people? If so, then answer, we will. And Jesus said, whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me. Do you covenant to welcome these children into our worship, our education, our fellowship? Will you let them know that they are loved and valued by God and by us as well? If so, please answer, we will. And finally, I always find this verse in Samuel interesting. He says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and right way. Will you as a congregation pray for these children, these parents, these family units? Will you support them in prayer before God? If so, please answer with, we will. Braxton Cole Dick, you are a precious little child. You are special and important to God, to your parents and family, and to this congregation. May God's upholding, encouraging, and sustaining love guide you in the right paths, so you may grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the communion of God's people go with you today and always. Amen. Finley Snow Friesen, you are a precious little child. You are special and important to God, to your parents, to your family, and to this congregation. May the Lord bless you today and throughout your life. May God's upholding, encouraging, and sustaining love guide you in the right paths, so you may grow in grace the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the communion of God's people go with you today and always. Amen. Jackson Blake Lowen, you are a precious little child. You are special and important to God, to your parents, and to this congregation. May the Lord bless you today and throughout your life. May God's upholding, encouraging, and sustaining love guide you in the right paths, so that you may grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the communion of God's people go with you today and always. Amen.
Nixon, Jay Falk, you are a precious little child. You are special and important to God, to your parents, and to this congregation. May the Lord bless you today and throughout your life. May God's upholding, encouraging, and sustaining love guide you in the right path so that you may grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the communion of God's people go with you today and always.
I'm going to invite us as a congregation to repeat back to these parents and their families the words on the screen called A Child Blessing. Let's read together. You have offered your child to the strong and tender providence of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and seriousness to share in your child's nurture and well-being. We will support, by our example and words, your efforts to provide a loving and caring home where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make your task both joyful. Let's bow to pray. Gracious God, you have given to these parents and to this church a special gift in the form of Jackson Blake, Nixon Jay, Braxton Cole, and Finley Snow. Let us see these children through your eyes. Grant that as they grow in years, they may also grow in grace and knowledge of you, our Lord and Savior, serving you faithfully for as long as you give the gift of life. Almighty God, source of all wisdom, guide and uphold these parents so that they may be able to carry out their responsibilities. By loving care, listening ears, and by example, may they be able to lead their children into a life of faith. Bless us as a congregation, that we may not cause others to stumble. By our life together, may our influence be a light on their path. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, who called the children to himself and blessed them. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. You may be seated.
You guys all to rise, if you want, if you don't have to. But, yeah, when I was preparing songs, and I found out it was child dedication, I was kind of lost at which songs I should pick, because I'm like, and I've never been a parent, I don't know much about parenting. I have had my opportunities with children. When I was in an orphanage in Mexico, I got the lovely opportunity to watch our baby Hank through the night, and I was like, I'm never going to be a parent if I have to wake up in the middle of the night for a kid. But that might change eventually. But I just know that to be a parent, it's kind of scary. Not only do you have to watch the kids or, like, take care of them, but you have to actually teach them good morals and, like, and you're, like, responsible for this kid. And so I was like, I'm just going to need Jesus so much when I become a parent one day. And so that's why I picked this song. It's the cornerstone. Just that Jesus is the cornerstone of, like, every part of our life. And, like, we can't do anything without him. And so, yeah.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I'll rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord of all. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord of all.
You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you. Will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you
that could not hold you.
veil tore before you. You silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
What a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you, guys.
It was a real joy to see these four beautiful families this morning, and I look forward to the privilege of watching these children grow up. I'm looking forward already to their first day of Sunday school. Scripture reading this morning is from two passages. I'll be reading first from Genesis chapter 33, verses 12 to 14. Then Esau said, "Let us be on our way. I'll accompany you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young. If they are driven hard just one day, all the animals will die. So let my Lord go on ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of the droves before me and that of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir." Second passage is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost."
The gift of a child, the miracle of a child's birth. When you walk through the Boundary Trails Hospital at the maternity ward, you often see and hear a lot of infants, newborns, and often there's a couple who's wandering the hallway or the corridor, anticipating the arrival of their child later that day or that night. I heard that in 2015, Manitoba had one of the highest birth rates in over 35 years. At Boundary Trails, over 1,000 children, 2.5 a day. I don't know where they get the half. How do you have a half a child? No, I won't do that. Sorry. But 17 in 1 week. That's incredible. This miracle of a child's birth, that first breath, the first cry after being ushered into this world. It's still pretty vivid for me. None of our children had a so-called natural birth. The first two were backwards. Our youngest was head first, but was upside down. After various complications, including the cord wrapped around his neck, he did not cry after he was born. He didn't make a sound for a long, long time. His color wasn't good. Doctors have an Apgar score from 1 to 10 that talks about the health of a child when it's born, 10 being the healthiest, and our son's score was 0. There was nothing. And time stands still. And you wait. And you wait. And the doctors do what they can. And more waiting. And finally, the first breath. I'm continually amazed that there have been no lingering consequences of such a low score. I've never heard of a 0 score without lingering consequences. And so you can't tell me that miracles don't happen. You will never persuade me. Someone has said that having children is the greatest form of hospitality. And why? Because you don't know what you're going to get. We as parents are invited to welcome whatever it is that comes into our homes, in our lives, in our hearts. And we're invited to journey with these children who have been entrusted to our care and keeping. And once you're a parent, you are always a parent. You just don't ever leave that role. It's a huge calling and responsibility. And if you think about it, it's really an invitation to unselfishness because every facet of your life is going to be affected. Yes, Kendra, sleep is very highly overrated. You might find that out. It's tremendously hard work. I'm so hugely grateful to all of you who embrace this calling with a sense of maturity and responsibility. Often you don't get the appreciation you deserve. I think it often gets overlooked. I want to commend all the young couples who these days are having children. You are doing a good job, and I don't think you often hear that enough. I think we need to give those young couples in our congregation a hand. And I would invite you to greet them after the service, any one of them that you can get a hold of, and just give them your encouragement. This is not an easy task. It's a huge responsibility, and they are doing a good job. And don't forget it. It's not uncommon to hear people say that having children was a greater adjustment for them than getting married. It certainly was for us. Welcoming the child pushes us in ways that we might have never expected. Pushes us actually really to grow up, to mature and take responsibility, if we so choose. So in answer to the question, who sets the pace in a family? The answer in part certainly is that children do. Did you ever notice the comment given in Genesis 33 where it says that after this meeting of reconciliation between Jacob and Esau, Jacob wants to meet with Esau again, but he wants to slow the pace according to the cattle and the children. I just find that refreshing and healthy. Children have a way of slowing our pace, so we begin to pay attention to a whole new world which tends to pass us by as adults. Life from the perspective of a 2-year-old. Can you imagine what it's like to walk around just being, you know, that tall? You notice all the stones, the bugs, the flowers. There wasn't a stone in our driveway that was never licked, I don't think. It was always clean. I mean, the cleanest driveway, just perfect, immaculate. People would comment. And it's the moon and the stars and everything up, the animals, other people. It's a whole new world. So don't despise one of these little ones is a direct command from Jesus to watch the pace. No member of the fellowship, no matter how weak or marginal, is to be treated as inferior. That's remarkable because in the society that Jesus was living and walking and working and ministering, everybody had their place. It was highly stratified, and children were at the very, very bottom. They had no rights, no privileges, no real nothing. And Jesus is saying, children have value, not because they are potential adults, but because they are people who Jesus already champions. And besides that, even the lowliest Christian has a guardian angel of the highest status, an angel of the presence. I find that just amazing and remarkable and encouraging. Because it was assumed in contemporary Judaism that only a few angels were permitted to be in the immediate presence of God, to see God's face. So this verse in Matthew 18 attributes the highest importance to the little ones, an importance that is confirmed by the conclusion, it is God's will that not one of them should perish. I keep coming back to the public inquiry that was completed in 2014 with Phoenix Sinclair. The name resonates with many of you, no doubt. This five-year-old's short's life, who was tortured and beaten and left to die on a basement floor, was then buried, and continued government payments were accepted on her behalf even after she was already deceased. It was so tragic. Such a tragic story. So tragic for many others in homes where there's instability and violence and unbearable conditions. It begs the question, what is going on with guardians and parents? What's going on in their lives? Sometimes in our society, parents are too alone in their parenting. There's no grandparents nearby. There's no close friends, no relatives. They don't know their neighbors, and they have no church community, and I just believe that is huge. At other times, it's a lack of discipline and responsibility on the part of the parents. They lost their moral courage. There's a weakness of character there, a self-centeredness so prevalent in our time. And so Jesus ends this parable with a rather foolish announcement, which raises the question, what self-respecting shepherd is going to abandon 99 sheep just out there on the hills? Just leave them alone. They could just scatter and run, and they could be killed, or wild animals or storms could come up. And then he goes and searches for this one that he might or might not find. And why would a shepherd rejoice more over one wayward sheep than over the more dependable members of the flock? It seems it's intended that the audience would be shocked into insight. Only such a foolish shepherd can represent God's concern for each of his straying children. Stanley Hauerwas said, children are a community's sign that the future of life, despite everything, is worthwhile. A child represents our willingness to go on in the face of difficulties, suffering, and the ambiguities of modern life, and it is our claim that we have something worthwhile to pass on. We have courage to call children into our world because our hope is not in this world, but in a God who has called us into God's kingdom through the work of Jesus the Christ. And so to initiate our children into what we think is right and true and good requires that we have the courage to ask ourselves to live truthfully. So he's not talking about children setting the pace. He's talking about parents setting the pace for themselves in order to be the kind of parents they ought to be. After all, parenting has a lot more to do with raising parents, or just as much as it does with raising children. So a couple of reminders. Firstly, the sooner we're humble enough to admit that it's all right to struggle. Sometimes we mess up, and we sometimes doubt our ability, and we try again. I think the sooner we can relax and enjoy the journey. We are not perfect parents. because we all do this for the first time. And so we need a lot of grace. We give grace to ourselves and grace to others because we have been given grace by our Lord. And secondly, parenting is always an invitation to change, to grow, to mature. Because unwillingness to change means the world and our children will leave us far behind. One writer has said, learning from our children is the best opportunity most people have to assure themselves of a meaningful old age. I was intrigued by the Journal of American Medical Association some years ago published an article by Dr. Paul Ruskin on the stages of aging. And in this article, Dr. Ruskin described a case study he presented to his students when he was teaching a class in medical school. And he described this case study under his care with the following words. He said, "The patient neither speaks nor comprehends the spoken word. Sometimes she babbles incoherently for hours on end. She is disoriented about person, place, and time. She does, however, respond to her name. I have worked with her for the past 6 months, but she still shows complete disregard for her physical appearance, makes no effort to assist in her care. She must be fed, bathed, and clothed by others. Because she has no teeth, her food must be well prepared. Her shirt is usually soiled from almost incessant drooling. She does not walk. Her sleep pattern is erratic. Often she wakes in the middle of the night and her screaming awakens others. Most of the time she is friendly and happy, but several times a day she gets quite agitated without apparent cause, and then she wails until someone comes to comfort her." After presenting the class with this challenging case, Dr. Ruskin then asked the students if any of them would like to volunteer to take care of this patient. And no one, not a one, volunteered. Then Dr. Ruskin said, "I'm surprised that none of you offered to help, because actually she is my favorite patient. I get immense pleasure from taking care of her." And then listen to what he says. He says, "I am learning so much from her. She has taught me a depth of gratitude I never knew. She has taught me the spirit of unwavering trust. And she has taught me the power of unconditional love." And then Dr. Ruskin said, "Let me show you her picture." He pulled out the picture and passed it around, a photo of his six-month-old baby daughter. Thirdly, you have to be involved, not vacate in place. There was a recent Olympics some years ago when there was this McDonald's ad about a man explaining something about McDonald's, and all of a sudden there was this interjection of his daughter's voice and said, "Dad, you're going to miss the game." And here was this invitation for this father by his daughter to come and not miss out. And that line just stuck with me. The invitation to be a dad and a mom, to invest in your child's life, to not miss out on the adventure of life with children. All the ups and downs, the triumphs, the disappointments, the struggles. Times when you scratch your head and wonder, what has happened to my life? What is going on? Because the other option is to not heed the invitation, to be absent, to be unavailable and vacant. Fourthly, parenting is certainly not time efficient or cost efficient. Jean-Jacques Rousseau wrote, "The training of children is a profession where we must know how to lose time in order to gain it." Some months ago, in early spring, a really warm day when Kathy and myself were in Winnipeg, and we were walking down the Assiniboine Park and walking across the bridge over the Assiniboine River, and there was this father who was walking ever so very slowly with a newborn daughter who had, I think, had just learned how to walk, taking these tiny, tiny baby steps. And, you know, talk about the pace. And I looked at him and I commented to him, I said, "Man," I said, Such a nice day for a slow pace and a slow walk, isn't it? And he said, you better believe it. He just slowed it down, just took the time. This was important. This was necessary. Wasn't in any hurry. This was just important. Not time efficient or cost efficient, that doesn't matter. It's just not going to happen if it's going to be healthy. And lastly, parenting is neither an efficient profession nor a popularity contest, because it was never meant to be that. So what are the tools we carry around? Do they serve us well? Here's a couple to consider. Children are worth it. As an extension of what Jesus said, because they are children and for no other reason, they have dignity and worth simply because they are. They do not have to prove their value on or worth. They do not need to earn our affection. Our love for them is not conditional, because if it ever is, that is unhealthy. That will never lead to anything good. If our children are worth it, then so are our neighbor's children. And if we are committed to their well-being, then we need to reconsider how as a society we spend our money. An interesting comment by a Lebanese citizen. Weary of the continuous shelling in his hometown, he told the New York Times correspondent, he said, there will be peace on this earth when we begin to love our children more than we hate our enemies. And what a profound statement. Secondly, I will not treat a child in a way I myself would not want to be treated. And thirdly, if it works and leaves a child and my own dignity intact, then do it. You can add your own scenarios to that. There's lots of them. The goal is to influence and empower. To raise children who have a strong sense of inner discipline, who don't act merely to please others or to avoid punishment, but who behave in a responsible and compassionate way toward themselves and others because it's the right thing to do. They know it, they've been taught, and they've seen it. Will our influence as parents be positive, productive, and responsible? Or will it be negative, unproductive, and irresponsible? Chaim Ginnett says, it is my personal approach that creates the climate. It is my daily mood that makes the weather. I possess a tremendous power to make a child's life really miserable or joyous. I can be a tool for a lot of misery or an investment in inspiration. I can humiliate or humor. I can hurt or heal. In all situations, it is my response that decides whether a crisis will be escalated or de-escalated and a child humanized or dehumanized. So who sets the pace in the home? Certainly children do. Parents do. But above all, my wish and prayer for those up front here today, and indeed for all of us, is that we would allow God to set the pace. I believe we can always use help in our parenting. All of us. Because in order to be the kind of parents that God wants us to be, we simply need to allow God's Spirit to mold us to become the kind of people and the kind of parents who God would invite us to be. And because we all do this for the first time, there's going to need to be some changes. Our prayer becomes, make me more like you, because I like the results when I inflict kindness on my children. I like what it does to their souls when I'm like you. We need God. And when we're honest enough to admit that, then the promise that Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness, not our success, can become real for us. Yet for sure, we always need resolve, we need rest, we need time away, and we need adult conversation. But even more, we need God, and we come to God with our empty hands and our empty hearts, desperately needing what only God can offer. And we come mysteriously joyful because we've got nothing to lose and everything to receive from the source of all that is good. Who we are is how we will parent. In other words, the kind of character traits we have will determine the kind of parents we will be. So the question naturally comes, how would you describe the character of your father, your mother, your children? How would you describe your own character? What do others who are close to you like about your character, or what do they dislike? What do you like about your own character? What do you wish would be different? Because what you role model is 5 times more important than techniques. Self-worth always happens through relationships when we take time to listen, accept, understand, and affirm. And we do know that a character formed by the Spirit of God will be one that will be able to welcome others, bless them, spend time and grow and change and learn, be nurturing and life-giving. Such a person will see to it that none of these little ones will perish. Such a person will be committed to letting God set the pace of growth in our lives so we can be the men and women and parents God calls us to be. Such a person will be able to pass on 6 critical messages to their children every day. I believe in you. I trust you. I know you can handle life situations. You are listened to. You are cared for. You are very important to me. For after all, are these not the same messages that our Heavenly Father gives to us? Amen.
I invite you all to stand.
I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, 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 love. Good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Let's bow to pray. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.